What is going on, crypto family? So today we got Jill Nee, the director of the Binance Charity Foundation, on the show. She tells us how she went from managing high net worth individuals to going back to school. That's right, going back to business school to then joining the Binance Charity, what Binance is trying to do for the world, some of her hobbies, what she would do with a time machine, how charities can join the mission, and ordinary people like you and me can help. So please help us grow the family. Give us a comment and review on the Apple or Google Play Store. It's super quick and easy. Just scroll down, click the little stars, comment, and just help us grow the family. All right, let's go meet Jill, and I'll catch you on the other side. What is going on, crypto family? So today we have Jill Nee, the director of the Binance Charity Foundation, with us. So thanks a bunch for joining us. Appreciate it. Nice to meet you.
Thank you. Thank you, Vitos. Hi, everyone. I'm Jill from Binance Charity. Very happy to join this show today.
Yeah, great to have you. Yeah, so you're in Shanghai. I was just there. Awesome place. It was a great place to visit. So where are you originally from? Where do you live? What's some of your background a little bit?
Yes, I'm from Shanghai. So this is my hometown. I'm staying with my family and having a good time here. So before joining Binance, actually, I worked for many years in financial services. So I've been serving big wealthy clients. And also that experience kind of triggered me to think about what banking can or financial services can do for there's a huge unbanked population around the world. So that when I was at the bank, I was thinking because those population do not have access to formal financial services. So banks, they do not have accounts and so on and so forth. So I actually quit my job there and I went to business school trying to find something that can combine my passion of trying to find to help to solve those social problems and also combine my previous experience in finance. And also during the business school, actually, there were a lot of talks about cryptocurrency and about blockchain technology. So it kind of planted a seed in me as well when I came across this opportunity with Binance Charity. I talked to the head of the foundation, Helen Hai, about her passion, her past, and how she thinks what the Charity Foundation can do. I was really fascinated about the idea that we're using crypto and blockchain, the technology to actually one is to bring transparency to charity and also to bring financial services or crypto wallets or access to cryptocurrency to the bottom billion population who are usually excluded from the financial services.
Gotcha.
So I found that it's a perfect match of my previous experience and also my passion. So that's how I actually came into the space of crypto and blockchain and also to Binance Charity.
Awesome. So back up a little bit though. You said that you were managing funds for high net worth individuals. Mm-hmm. So you were doing that in the investment side.
Yes.
And then you quit and then you went to business school. Why are rich people letting somebody that hasn't gone to business school mess with their money?
Well, the previous work is actually more like relationship building because the rich people do not, of course, they care about like who managed them. But of course that how you're managing the relationship with them is also very important. So I would say that's more like we call ourselves as relationship managers instead of just an investor. So we're providing suggestions, but I didn't do like direct investment for them. So
gotcha. Yeah, because normally it's a business school, and then I'll be your investor or manage your money.
Yes.
So. But so you started hearing about crypto in business school, and then how did you get introduced to, into Binance? Like I met Wee, your CFO over there in Singapore, and he had an interesting story as well, how he was, outside of crypto and how he came into crypto. I'll save that for the interview we'll launch. But what's your story? How did you get involved with Binance? How did you hear about him? How did you get to, go to work for him?
So at that time, actually, I was, as I mentioned, I want to work for a kind of unbanked population and want to see how I can help them. So I was looking into Africa and I want to find some opportunities in Africa, especially on that ground. And so that's actually how I came across with Helen, because she has done a lot of work in Africa before. And I was introduced by a friend to Helen. So we had a lot of chat. At that time, she was actually setting up the foundation. So I didn't came in, and when I came in, I didn't even know Binance because I have like very little knowledge about crypto. But after some research, after some like talk and conversation with Helen, I kind of understand what where Binance comes from and what actually it can bring to the work that we are doing at the foundation. So that's how I came.
Gotcha.
And also because actually the projects we're doing are starting from many projects, charity projects in Africa. And I found it's a great opportunity that aligns with what I was looking for and also what I wanted to do.
There's a lot of people out there that need help for sure. And so, you know, philanthropy can, you know, be used for great things or for bad things, depending on where the money goes. But so what's Binance, you know, kind of doing for, you know, for charity, their philanthropic, you know, I guess mission, you know, for the people? You said a little bit in Africa. I know you guys have stuff going on in Uganda. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, what you guys are doing there?
Yes, definitely. So when the charity foundation is started, so we were thinking about what actually we can do, and coming from as we are at Binance is truly believer of cryptocurrency, and we really want to help also the industry to see what actually the true value of cryptocurrency. We found that actually the characteristics of cryptocurrency, the interchangeability, traceability, and transparency can help the charity world. Because when we talk to the donors, many donors are always asking question, where my money goes? And the traditional charity is very hard to answer that question. They will show you a financial statement, but what exactly, which part going to what is still very unclear. And so that is the problem that we decided to tackle at the beginning when we started the foundation. So we help the donors to track their donations. Put it in simple words, we have a platform where donors can actually donate through our website, and then we will help. Since everything is in cryptocurrency, it is everyone can check where actually that money goes into, and that goes into now it's going to the end beneficiary's wallet directly. It's not going to into nonprofit and then you lose track. But actually, we help on the ground to help the end beneficiary setting up crypto wallets to receive the donations directly. And also we are able to see how the end beneficiaries, they're actually spending those money. I can take any project that we're working on, for example. So we started in Uganda for the kids. Is we supporting free lunch for the kids in Uganda from one school in February this year. And so we set up the wallet for the kids. We send the donations directly to the kids. And then the kids, they're able to pay for their lunch at the school. And we can also see that transaction is that the donations actually going into the vendors who are providing food for the school. In that way, it solves a lot of problems also, including how actually the end beneficiaries are using the money. So making sure that those are used for the right courses, and that it's not taken by the parents, it's not taken by the school, or it's not taken by the officials in that region.
Yeah, or by whoever sets up the wallet, right?
Yes, yes. So so it's like everything is clear, so the public are also able to track all the information on chain as well. So that's kind of the model we have been doing and how we have been carrying out the charity projects.
Cool. So transparency, and then I guess kind of like seamless, you know, transactions versus trying to exchange, you know, paper money or get paper money to parents to give to their kids, to give to vendors and things like that can be messy. Crypto could be awesome. What do you guys...
The transaction cost is low because when you think about the donors are coming from around the world.
Sure.
And in traditional world, they have to transfer that money through banks or through cards or whatever to if it going to Africa, then actually a portion of that is lost in the process. But when we're utilizing cryptocurrency, that cost is also largely reduced.
No, crypto is amazing. So for instance, with you know, the free lunch for the kids, what kind of currency are you guys using to give to the kids, right? So say I donate $1 million to you and then you guys get the money. Does that go into like BNB? Does that go into like TUSD, a stable token? Because if you're using like regular cryptocurrency, it's pretty volatile, right? So if they had, you know, a dollar today to go buy lunch and then tomorrow it drops 85%, they're left with 15 cents, right? So what are you guys using for crypto?
Mm-hmm. So actually the donations comes in the crypto form, most of the donations. So we actually do not exchange. So whatever we received, of course that we are only, currently we're only open to the major ones because at the back end, you still need some liquidity. If it's like a very small coin, that doesn't actually make sense to for the kids on the ground or the vendors who are actually receiving that the money. So we accept like Bitcoin, of course, our Binance coin, Ethereum, and we also have stable coin like SPACs and some others that we use for the programs. So we have tried out different for some of the schools. We tried out using stable coin. And for some, we actually started by using like Binance coins, sending out Binance coins. Of course, in the past, that since when we started the Binance in February, you can imagine that Binance coin, the value actually increased. So that didn't really turn out to be any problem on the ground for the kids or the people we are working with. But gradually, we also see the concerns from them, and so actually in this year, in May and June, we actually launched a new program and also launched a new token, which is called a Pink Care Token, for our project to provide senator pass to the school kids to the girls. And for that Pink Care token, it is actually, we think we innovated the idea of a value stable coin because one token of one Pink Care token is equal to 1 year supply of sanitary pads. That is how we are making sure that when the end beneficiaries, they're receiving the token, they actually are guaranteed for the goods that they actually need. So, because when you are using stablecoin, sometimes people also say because local currency versus US dollar, there's still some fluctuation. Although that compared to crypto, that's very little. But still, that we found that actually in that case, the Pincare token that we use is actually a very good experiment from our side, and we have seen that the local acceptance is also very very good on the ground.
So with these Pink Care tokens, if somebody, you know, turns it into the vendor, what do? They get a huge box of, you know, women's sanitary tissues. I mean, is that what happens? I mean, how do you break up a token in weekly supplies? I mean,
yeah. So it's interesting because actually the vendor we selected through we also had like a bidding process that we receive many vendors who would like to work for us. And actually the one we selected eventually is one that provides a reusable sanitary pad. So we found that it's actually environmentally friendly and they were produced locally. So we, as we choose the vendor, we are also providing, like supporting them, like getting, like making sure that people are worked from locally. So there are also jobs that are secured. So so for that, that means that it's a small pack that can be used for a year for a girl.
Gotcha.
It doesn't come with a box, but so for the girls at the beginning of the year, we will give them the token so they can exchange for a pack of pads from the vendor.
Gotcha. Yeah. And for other charities that are existing, I would imagine you're not creating all these charities. You are the charity that, you know, funds these other underlying charities. So how do charities that want to work with Binance reach out to you? What do they do? And what are you looking for in a charity and what demographics and all that kind of stuff?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So we are supporting the charities, although that we also work more closely, very closely with them. We're not just a kind of a foundation that comes to fund them, but we help them to innovate their process as well, because crypto blockchain is still a very new concept for many traditional charities. So a couple of criteria that we're looking for from the charities. One is definitely they need to accept the new technology, and they're willing to implement or integrate their existing system with crypto and with blockchain, and helping them to be more transparent. For some of the charities that we talk to, they welcome crypto, but when it comes to that, we said that we want to trace through the last mile. We want to make sure how exactly you are spending those money, and some of them will kind of becomes hesitant on that. Although that we understand that for some charities that they have a lot of places to spend their money at the beginning, that we still want to choose the charity who are willing to open up their kind of financial books and helping us to understand how actually they're using the crypto donations.
Gotcha. So where do people go to apply, you know, to work with you?
Mm-hmm. So we do have an email address which is bcf@binance.charity, which if there's any interesting programs, we're very happy to get more information from you. People can send us your proposal, what you're working on, and what's your request. So we will, our team will look into that, and we'll get back to people who have reached out to us. It's usually the process for applying.
Awesome. More about you though. So what do you do for mm-hmm. fun? Do you have any hobbies? What do you do when you're not out saving the world?
Yeah. So I love photography. So yeah. I was a student photographer when I was at school, business school, and I was taking a lot of photos. And I was actually just in Uganda about a month ago. So I went there and went to the schools to check out what's going on with the projects. And I also took many photos there at the schools. It was the kids. Because what we felt that what the BCF, the Binance Charity, has been doing before, that people might have heard about we're working in Uganda, we have been doing this and that, but not many photos actually came forward. One thing is because, of course, the local organizations of people, they are not like very good at taking good photos. There are a lot of restrictions, especially on like phones, that the quality is not good. So, I found that's a good opportunity for me to go there and it's like showing that what's happening on the ground through also like my hobby.
For sure, yeah. And so as a hobby, when you're taking pictures, what do you do with these pictures that, you know, aren't Binance related, that's not, you know, kids in Uganda? Do you post them on your, you know, social media, like Instagram, Facebook? You know, where can people go to see some of your pictures?
Yes, I do have an Instagram where I posted some of my just normal, what I like to, the photos I take outside of work. But I do not post that often. And now that we became pretty busy with the work, sometimes I felt I do not, because after you take the photo, you will spend some time to edit it and it takes time to select some of the good ones. But if you, I'm happy to, please check out my Instagram. It's jiljawan. It's JILJIAWAN, where you may find some of my fun photos and photos I took. I like to take photos about like animals, plants, flowers, nature. That's mainly that what you will see on my Instagram.
It's awesome. Yeah, it's always cool to see, you know, the world through somebody else's eyes every once in a while. And photos are kind of a great way to do that.
Yes. Yeah.
So what's one of your favorite books that you read when you're growing up, or maybe something even recent that that was important to you that you think other people might like?
What came to my mind is actually Sapiens, the Brief History of Humankind. I think probably it's not a very interesting answer, but I do find it interesting, especially now that I'm working in crypto and blockchain. We have always been talking about because there are a lot of hustles in this industry. And when people outside of the industry talk about crypto, they come up with a lot of bad connotations. And but we do see the value of crypto, and we think it's something that's more related to kind of a human nature, or something that's it has a lot of deep meanings. And for example, when we come up with the idea of a Pincare token, this like linking a coin or something with a real goods is kind of like what happens in the barter, kind of like where you have goods and exchange for goods, right? So we do see that the crypto actually has this, which the true value is still to be discovered, I think. And especially also how, when you see how the human history develops, it has a lot of conflicts between maybe the business side, the societies, and also the nature. And I think that exists in our world as well. So when we are making decisions, and sometimes when we are thinking about how we can do for the bigger society, we also have to think about what is good for the business, or what is good like for ourselves. But there's always need to find a balance among all those. So yeah.
Indeed.
I think the book is just, you can go over that, and sometimes you will come up with some new thoughts about what we are doing now in this world.
Yep, we're just one giant network and one little node in it. So
Yes, yep. Exactly.
So then if you had a time machine, and you can go forward in time as far as you want, or you can go back in time as far as you want, but you had to stay there. You couldn't leave. Mm-hmm. When and why would you go?
Yeah.
Most everybody says like Bitcoin, right? So
yes, of course. So for me, I think I kind of want to go back to the back in time. I'm actually a huge nature lover, so I like taking photos of the nature, animals, and I love I care about a lot of environmental issues as well. So for me, I really want to go back and see before before human exists, but before we started to kind of expand into like a lot of nature and kind of destroying what we would usually used to look like. I really want to see what it was like there, and live with nature, instead of like live in a place, because you know, like Shanghai is a huge, just a concrete jungle. It's really hard even going into see nature, or you have to drive like a couple of hours going to the mountains, or somewhere that's away from the civilization.
Yeah, sounds great for a day or for a week, but man, I'd miss my Netflix and my iPhone.
Yeah, I know. It's very true that you kind of, it's hard to break away from what we have now.
Yeah. Big time, big time. So last question, what's three things about you that everybody should know? So three things about Jill.
Yes. I think, of course, like I should have like one about my background. I'm a Yale graduate from MBA, Yale MBA graduate. So I'm pretty proud of that experience as well. And I thought that's a great community to be within. I am from China, and then from Shanghai. This is my hometown, which I really love a lot. And also that I think it's also related to the last question. I'm a very huge nature lover, and I think I'll just put it there.
No worries. Jill, it's been awesome, you know, hearing your story. You know, we'll make sure to get the links out for, you know, for your charity. And so that way, if people want to, you know, help, you know, contribute, donate, or maybe they're a charity as well and they want to start working with you, they'll be able to as well. So
yes.
Definitely. Thanks a ton for coming on. I appreciate you.
Yeah, let's make the world better together.
All right. God bless.
Cool. Thank you. Thank you, Vitos.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, and a huge thanks to Jill. Appreciate you coming on, telling us all about the cool stuff you and Binance are trying to do. For people that want to learn more, check out the link in the description below. Just a friendly reminder, Crypto Beetle shows are never financial advice, recommendations, or trading strategies. The views expressed here are solely that of Robert Beetles and his guests. Robert Beetles is the co-founder of the Monarch Wallet, host of TradingView Sessions, Crypto Beetles on YouTube, and on several entities. Robert's opinions here do not reflect that of those entities. Some information shared here may not actually be factual. These shows are for information and entertainment purposes only. Never invest a single Satoshi or penny in anything without first seeking the counsel and advice of a professional financial advisor. Robert Beetles is not a financial expert or advisor. Investing in anything is super dangerous. You can lose all of your money, so always trade at your own risk. Please help us grow the family. Give us a comment and review on the Apple or Google Play Store. It's super quick and easy. Just scroll down, click the little stars, comment, and just help us grow the family. All right. God bless you. Love you. Until the next one, talk to you soon.